Welcome to Be More. Sarah Gretzinger is an entrepreneur, author, and international speaker who brings you her take on what it means to be an entrepreneur in the 21st century. Everything from building a personal brand to delegating like a rock star to creating and launching online products and services and marketing yourself as the go-to leader in your industry and beyond. If you're a speaker, author, coach, consultant, expert, blogger, podcaster, freelancer, or solopreneur, Be More is about to become your new favorite podcast.
I want to start today's episode by first acknowledging those of you who are listening, because I believe that there is a success formula made up of two parts. It takes first showing up. 50% of success is just about showing up. And I appreciate your ability to show up for this episode, because the truth is most people aren't here. True. Most people don't take the time to show up. So we're showing up here, and most people just don't show up in life. We need to show up for our life, our health, our relationships, career, service, but showing up isn't enough. And most of us know that. You have to play it full out. Let me say it again. You have to play full out. When you can show up and play it out, you're maximizing your productivity, allowing you to maximize your results. And it is such an honor to have today's guest on. Michelle Nicole McNabb is an expert at maximizing her potential and teaching others how to do the same. So Michelle, welcome to the podcast. I'm so honored to have you on here. How are you doing today?
Oh, thank you so much. I am so honored to be here and just to share a little bit how people can optimize using events and productivity. I get very, very passionate. So thank you for letting me join and speak to your audience.
Absolutely. So you work in the event space, and, you know, I know firsthand most people think of event planners and coordinators as, you know, the basic who, what, when, where, why in relation to, you know, when are we having the event, like time, date, place. It always makes me think of like a birthday invitation.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
That's how a lot of entrepreneurs go at it. Right. And you take event maximization to a whole other level. So talk to me about that space that you're in.
Absolutely. I first off agree where that invitation or that very high level, who needs to be where and when, what needs to be where and how, that's really where my background of event planning and what I call logistical event planning, that is where I started out. And truth be told, when I started in the industry, that's all that I knew about event planning. And as I've had more experience hands-on and different reasons to use events as a platform, my understanding and where I really like to educate, not just people in the industry, but people that want to use events, everything beyond the logistics. And that's also what makes me a little unique. So yes, the easy answer, am I an event planner? Yes. But it goes beyond the who, the what, the when, the how. And so I go through six foundations, and really my core is helping people to set those key foundations so that they can learn the concepts and they can reapply it regardless of their size event or their type of event. It's the foundations that they go through, which would be their strategy, the logistics, their outreach methods, the nurturing, their sales, and the metrics. So it goes through those six foundations using events as a platform.
Absolutely. And the metrics are such a key component to it. So, you know, coming on my side of it from the marketing background, you know, I have entrepreneurs approach me on a daily basis saying, you know, we want to host this online event or in-person event for our business. And as soon as you ask them, what do they want to achieve from it? The most common answer is revenue, but they're not looking at the metrics and the process that it takes to get there. And so you really work in this space where you're educating people and changing the mindset of how an event should actually run.
Sure. Or even optimizing, because a big question I get is, can I have this event in this time frame? Absolutely. guess what? Send out the invite, pull up a couple chairs. Logistically, you have an event. But logistically isn't what's going to optimize that event. Maybe the experience, yes, is a part of it. It's very critical, but every event is different. And so I go through some of my assessments, and how to create those strategies is based on what you want to obtain by using that event. So is it cash flow? Is it connection to the community? Is it contributors? Is it credibility? There's more than just the cash flow as to why people use events. And so if you can first rank them and then create your goals around those objectives, then you know how you can actually track and know if you had a successful event, how you define success for that event beyond the cash flow.
Exactly. I love that. And so you are working really on an international level, which is just absolutely incredible. And I'm always so admired by the ability to reach people online. But, you know, you're going to be speaking on our upcoming summit, and we're super excited about that. But talk about the amount of pre-planning, because doing events all over the place, you know, as a busy entrepreneur, there's a lot of planning that goes into that. So, you know, when you're planning the events piece behind the scenes, what does that look like?
Oh, absolutely. First and foremost, I need to kind of assess where they are. And you and I, we have had discussions, because people that use events typically fall into a certain type of mentality. These are people that want to be in front of people. They want to impact. And so what happens is they may be 2-3 steps ahead, but then they're a little unclear as to how they even got there. And then we need to kind of reassess to say, wait, first off, what do we miss? Because then what happens is they're working, they're busy, but they're not being as effective as we can. So the very first thing that we want to start is, where are we now and where do we want to go? And what do we need to either reverse engineer to get there, or make sure that we can build those milestones? And so a lot of the planning, first and foremost, I always have an assessment. I have a lot of free assessments, even, because it helps both myself and the organizer to really get that clear picture. And then also, even though my process is the same, I go through the same 6 foundations. What's really neat is every single event will play out differently. It's just like a wedding, let's take for example, is the planning process is the same, but every wedding will be different. You know, conferences go through the same fundamentals of planning a process, but there's a reason why your event is going to be different. And it's because of how that planning process is executed and how those foundations are being answered. So taking each of those processes and each of those foundations, I can help to say, well, now you understand every single time you have an event, but understand that each event, you may have a different outreach method. You might have a different nurture sequence.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned weddings. And so I'm going to touch on this for a second. So I remember when I got married, the amount of work that went into planning a wedding. And honestly, I think every bride goes into it so excited, but then all of a sudden you do this massive mountain of work for one day, and then that day is over and it's just kind of like, whew.
Yeah.
Right. But in the space you're in, you really work on the before, during, and after. Cause I remember just being so exhausted that when it came time to do thank you cards, I was just kind of like, okay, let's just push through this. But the way you work is really that before, during, and after process. So I would love to dive into that a little bit, because a lot of our listeners are planning events, whether they're in person, online, conferences, webinars, and the process that you have really works for all of those logistically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's something where having the process and understanding the concepts, where when I was in corporate and I managed the business-to-business marketing division for a nationwide company, and I had 70 salespeople coming at me wanting to do lunch and learns or networking or this event or that event, conferences nationwide, anything from small budgets to tens of thousands of dollars, mm-hmm. and someone had to create not only the proposal to the CFO and to the entire marketing division, but had to determine which events were really going to be our best interest. And so I've been able to take that and understand that we need to create a marketing campaign before, during, and after, because something like a wedding, you don't have to I guess the most you're promoting at a wedding is come to my wedding or not.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas if you're doing a lunch and learn or you're doing a networking event or a cocktail event, that's much different than you sponsoring an exhibit booth, and you don't have to worry about attracting the attendees, but you very well need to convert all the people and the connections that you're making. So really, again, going back to understanding first and foremost the intentions, and then what is the customer journey? That happens very, very early in my process, is what does that customer journey look like? And where in that customer journey is that event? Is the event the very first point of contact? Or is the event after a screening process and now you want to invite them to a workshop? So the event can fall at various parts of why you're using that event and the intention of the event. And so understanding when you're using the event and why you're using the event can really help actually create your strategy. But understanding that first.
I love that. Yeah. So I love that you mentioned that, because a lot of people seem to miss that. So I've been in the event space for 2 years, a little bit longer than 2 years, hosting networking events, you know, across Canada and the US. And I know that what I did in the beginning, you know, to plan and execute and promote my event, it was just completely all wrong. Like, nobody knew where to be when. I didn't even know where to be when. And I was the one hosting it. My attendees were kind of like, okay, what's going on? And, you know, we pulled it off successfully, but like the amount of stress and strain, because, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So talk to me a little bit about the top three thing entrepreneurs do wrong when planning event. Like, let's just get real here. What are those things that you like sit at your screen and just shake your head and like, oh my goodness.
Oh boy. One, they really, if I were to put it in three different things, if they are using the event and they're inviting people when they don't have a clear understanding what they actually want from the event, so that they're actually inviting the wrong people.
Yes.
So
I've done that.
I have seen, or that they just want anyone and anyone there. So the audience for sure is something that I see all the time. Secondly, definitely the outreach methods. I have helped several people, even just with my free content, or I do online trainings. I had one even just this week. A great example is she's having an event, and it's one thing to outreach to your warm market, people that already know, like, and trust you. But the people that don't yet know you need to be approached slightly different. And people may just throw out sponsorship packets or invitations to their event as if they're ready to invest that time. That is a big ask, whether or not it's an attendee or an exhibitor, if they don't yet know you. So creating that process is number two, is understanding how to outreach based on where they are in your customer journey and their really the market. Thirdly would be only thinking the logistics. And as you know, Sarah, I'm very passionate on this. Yes, I care what time coffee comes out, but I actually don't care what time coffee comes out, if that makes sense.
You know, it needs out, but it's not
right.
That comes out 5 minutes late. It's not the be all end all. It's really about the value of it.
You know, I use that what time does coffee come out to really comprehend all those moving parts. What time do speakers go on? All those logistics are extremely important. But again, having that is only one piece of the puzzle. So if they're only spending all of their time and their decision making on some of the things that really aren't going to kick back that ROI or kick back the success, then that's where they come back and say events don't work, or, you know, they're too much time and they're not effective. Well, yeah, they can be extremely impactful either positively or negatively. So only thinking on very small scale or only logistics is where people run into those issues and then get discouraged and don't use events at the end of the day.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to your comment about addressing the different markets. So your warm market and really your cold market.
Yes.
And what I found in my experience with my own events and attending events, I mean, I've attended a ton of events and there's, you know, 3, 4, 5 people in the room. And you know, there's this big extravagant display on social media of what this event promises, but then you see that there's, you know, nobody in the room. And, you know, what I've come to learn over time, especially by following you and following your journey and like that free content that you put out, is that entrepreneurs are clearly not presenting the value in the right way, mm-hmm. or they're presenting it and they're presenting it to the wrong audience. So I know one of your strategies is, you know, figure out what your value is and then create content to support that value or to address a problem that someone's having. So talk to me, like, how do you do that for yourself when you're, you know, getting your content out there? What's your strategy?
And to clarify my strategy of what content to put out there or how to reach them, or...
Well, when you're addressing your market, just sticking anything out there, there's a whole, I'm going to go back to that whole showing up and following through piece. Like, there's a process to this. It's not just, you know, for me, I wouldn't just create this podcast and say like, hey, I stuck it on Facebook. You know, the masses are coming to me. There's a right time, place, delivery method for all of that. I mean, I refer to it as inbound marketing, but you've got your own strategy for this.
Yeah. Really understanding one, the different platforms. So I truly believe to be authentic, but with that, you can be authentic on the different platforms. So what my strategy may look like is, hey, on Instagram, you're getting the entrepreneur Michelle and Nicole behind the scenes. Yes, you might catch me in like workout gear or out with my dog if something is, you know, on my mind because I've had a conversation. I may immediately get it onto an Instagram story and then go back and say, wow, that was actually helpful. People have, you know, commented that was helpful. Now they're asking for a training. So then I can take that same thought process and repurpose it. I repurpose a lot into now either a Facebook training or into a video of some sort that I can reuse, repurpose, and then attract the different audiences, even though it's the same messaging. So then Facebook may have a 15-minute training. And then on LinkedIn, I just take a snippet to then redirect people so that they can learn or tap into, oh, you know, she's giving me a 30-second clip or a 2-minute info. you know, infomercial or whatever. And if they want more, where to continue that conversation. So to me, content and events are always a way to continue a conversation. Giving them some of the information, but if they want more, that clear call to action to then nurture and then figure out from there, the whole purpose of having the content is to continue the conversation and to get an assessment. Are they using events? And then from there, I have a screening process as to, are you using events? How are you using events? If they're a host, or if they're an exhibitor, or if they're networking, all of those things are then screened out through my assessment, which all came from that content, which is then nurtured. And now that I know their assessment, I know where their struggles are or what they're hoping to gain. And guess what I can do? Go back to my content, go back to my resources and redirect them to give them that value based on what their needs are. Ask to continue the conversation. And then at that point, they at that point may be ready to either enroll into a program or watch a workshop or come to one of my events. So you're always using it to connect the dots and really segment what they need by asking those right questions, segmenting and redirecting to continue the conversation, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think everything that you said is, it's actually like right to the point. There was so much to that process, and that's only one side of it. That's the content side of it. Forget, you know, the whole ROI, the logistics, all of that. Mm-hmm. And just knowing how much planning goes into that piece of it, you can really see why so many entrepreneurs who are hosting events aren't getting the desired results, because it's a process, and understanding that process like in depth really is the key to having that successful event, not just having, I'm going to go back to it, that birthday invitation.
Yes.
And, you know, I always think of events that way, and that I see it all the time. That's what they're doing, right? Yeah. They're not diving deep into that entire process, the way you work with the venue and you interact with the venue is going to be different than the way you interact with someone, say that's a speaker, but they all need attention. And the way you deliver that matters, because it helps to create the success of the event.
Sorry, my dog was barking. I don't know if...
Welcome to the
podcast. Sorry about that. No.
He agreed.
So I'm gonna close off on this. You have so many amazing tools and resources. I'm just blown away by it every time I see you putting content out. And one of them is, you know, the 12 steps to convert event marketing to ROI. And so you talk about the AC/DC song, TNT. And I just first and foremost want to know, do you rock out to this?
Oh, I actually have. I have, depending. I mean, obviously there are certain events where I can't, but yes, I have definitely walked out to that song.
I love that. So you've got this laid out as a hopscotch board, and I'm going to share this for all the viewers to make sure that everyone sees this. If you're in the event space, planning events, you know, online, offline, whatever it may be, this is a crucial and critical tool. But talk to me a little bit. We've touched on this kind of, but break it down real simple. What are the components of the hopscotch board, and why are these so pertinent to the success of, you know, the event?
Yeah. So those of you that have seen the hopscotch or downloading it, keep in mind, this is one example. This is not a cookie cutter end all be all. It is meant to give an example. And what happens is it always starts with attracting who your target market is. Well, then we can explain, or the purpose is to understand how you're going to best attract. So block one with hopscotch is we have to start there. Now, getting into the nitty gritty, how we do that, well, that's where my programs come in. That's where my strategic partners come in. What happens, and going back to a few moments ago, what are some of the issues that people do is they actually jump to hopscotch number 7, which is the invite. And what happens is that works very well. if you already have an audience, if they're already a warm market, they already know who you are. Absolutely, you can go from attracting and to an invite. But what happens is for those that don't yet know you, and you need to nurture and you need to have that sequence, what the hopscotch visualize and helps us through is how you can get there. And so that could be what's your outreach? What's that call to action? How are you going to segment and redirect into those different resources so that they can actually, just like the game of hopscotch, nobody just wants to leap on over. You have to go one block at a time before it's then appropriate to send out the invite. And then from there, what do you do after? So many times you send out the invite and there are no shows, or people don't come, or they need to know what to expect. So the hopscotch goes a step further and says, how can I ensure that these people know what to expect? And what do you do if they don't come? Well, that's called a We Missed You campaign. Make sure that it was acknowledged, or there's terms like fear of missing out. So those sort of things are all in this hopscotch to help people through attracting, converting, continuing the conversation, delighting, which means keep giving that valuable resource and the information so that they want to come back, or that they know that if they're already receiving that value, coming to that event, they're more likely to actually show and convert, not just a one-time invitation to someone that doesn't know you yet.
Love that. I love that. So make sure to download that, everybody who's listening. You know, it's a true and tested tool. I mean, in my own events, I have people that show up, you know, every single month because they know me, right? I've taken the time to build that relationship. Mm-hmm. But there was always this deep-rooted struggle for, you know, how do we attract new people? And as soon as we started putting out content that provided value, you know, teaching people why mm-hmm. choose our event versus, you know, the 800 million other things you could be doing that night, and how my event's going to add value, we started really seeing that turnaround and that shift in the attendance and the value that people were getting from showing up. So talking about showing up, talking about planning, talking about having a process, yeah, I'm going to mention it again. You're going to be on our upcoming online summit, Up Your Productivity. And you are, you know, a master at productivity. You are juggling multiple events at a time, multiple partners, you know, focusing on the event from literally every spectrum and having partners who assist you in that. So you're talking about a tool that I recommend every entrepreneur use. And you're talking about using Asana for business. So just real quick, how has this tool, because I don't want you to give everything away so that, you know, we've got some goods to share on the summit, but how has using Asana helped you increase your productivity?
So Asana, for those that don't know just yet, very high level, what it is a project management system that allows team members and clients to collaborate together. And so that's the very high level of what it does and how it's helped me is because I can sort out my different projects and my different clients, or even run those boot camps where I can have very specific assignments to different people. It's all organized in one dashboard, but then I can separate it both by project and by status and by client. I actually have a client that they use their entire business on Asana. So it's more than just a to-do list. You can really customize it how you can be most productive. And so on the online summit, I'm going to tap into a little bit how I specifically use it and how also other people that I've worked with or helped set up Asana, how they can use it to be productive, know exactly when things need to get done, who's responsible for them, and have it in a visual way, along with the capability to collaborate so that you're not getting dozens and dozens of emails that get lost. It's all in one location, all your documents, everything is in one platform.
I love it. So I just have to like chime in on this, because when I first started communicating with you and you shared Asana with me, I remember opening it and going, what the, what am I supposed to do with this? It was almost, it was so organized, and I'm so used to, I mean, if you saw the top of my desk, there are like post-it notes stuck to everything. And I remember thinking, okay, Sarah, she is definitely a sorter, like that personality of like having it all very clear and organized. But you know, I look at the amount of time it takes me sometimes to get one task done, because I'm forever looking for the 8 post-it notes where I've got my little tidbits of information. But just seeing that clear outline and how every process is laid out from start to finish, you know, who else is part of that? What's the cost with it? What's the time frame for it? You know, it speaks volume to the amount of productivity one can really have in their day, their week, their year, when getting it structured and organized. So I've reverted away from, well, most of my post-it notes, to be honest. I still got a few.
Yeah. I mean, it's a work in progress, because you and I, we've had this conversation that everyone's brain works differently. And so sometimes my Asana, how I need it set up to work for me, is going to be completely different for someone else. And that's the beauty of it, is if you're working on the same project, you can actually set it up in different views and different tasks so that you can work on your part. And it doesn't affect how I view my Asana for that same project, which is really, really essential when you're working with teams that work differently. We work with different parts of our brains, and how we get through task lists or visuals is really important to have that capability.
Yeah, I love it. All right, so I'm going to wrap up. You know, a huge thank you to you for taking some time out of your day to jump on, and learned a lot on here. I love, you know, touching base on some of the things that entrepreneurs are doing wrong, because we got to first recognize what we're doing wrong in order to revert and do it right. So thank you for your time. I cannot wait for your segment on the upcoming summit. You've just got so much to share. And, you know, for entrepreneurs tuning and listening, make sure to follow Michelle on social media and on our partner page. You know, new partner with us, we're excited to have that partnership with you and be able to offer your programs and courses to entrepreneurs who are, you know, planning and hosting events.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited to be a part of the network and to be that resource. Anything events, using events as a platform, that's really where I get passionate. And understanding that there are different ways, how to be productive and anything regarding events, I am more than happy to be that resource to the network.
Awesome. All right. Have an amazing day, and stay tuned, everybody, next week for the next episode of our podcast.